Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
This will be his fourth consecutive season with a victory in the NASCAR Cup Series. Christopher Bell off the final corner, and he wins in Phoenix.
Excellent job, Adam. White Knight, Willie, everyone on this 20 car. Thank you, guys. Excellent, excellent car.
One lap to go.
Welcome to Racing Radio. Congrats to Christopher Bell at winning the race at Phoenix. And I just want to say congratulations to Toyota. You're getting back in championship circle. They're guaranteed to win the 2024 championship after their domination at Phoenix. They led all but 14 laps where Todd Gilliland had stayed out during green flag pit stops. I hate to come on here and be a bummer, but that race put me to sleep.
Yeah, the restarts, first of all. Hello, there's my voice. Bobby's going to kind of carry the show as I try.
Drink hot water, honey, tea, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what the warehouse will do to you. And coming off being sick, I'm going to try and get ready for free agency tomorrow. But, yeah, man, the restarts are always exciting. There's a couple points where they're 3 and 4 wide. But that's just because you're going down on that dog leg at Phoenix and, you know, there's just so much room. It was cool to see at restarts that they're racing 3 wide. I'll tell you what was the most entertaining part of the race. This really would have been a race where I would have considering maybe turning off if it weren't for Kevin Harvick, who has such good insight on driving this car and how, you know, he was like, well, you know, it's exhausting driving this track and driving this car at this track because there's so much that's going on. You're downshifting. You know, you're balancing the brake and the throttle. So I actually thought Kevin Harvick kind of saved this race for me. But competitive-wise, yeah, Toyota dominated. Yeah, Hendrick did some good stuff, but they got screwed with the pit strategy at the end. So I'm with you.
Well, it wasn't even just a pit strategy. It's the fact that they can't pass, right? Like Byron and Elliott were running top 5, you know, and then when the leaders came in with 95 to go, basically nothing changed besides Christopher Bell being able to move up through the field. I think they came out like 19th and 20th place and they finished 18th and 19th. Like they just weren't able to pass. That's, you know, and I know a lot gets made out of like, oh, the short track package and stuff like that. And I think it can be a little overblown. But I also think NASCAR can add more horsepower, right? Everyone's begging for it, you know, less shifting. But at the same time, I just don't think Phoenix is ever going to be a good track, even if they do get some of those things better in the right direction. And it truly sucks to have the championship at this track.
Yeah, Bristol and Martinsville will be the big test for the short track package, which I agree with you. They need to, for the short tracks, they need to put the power back of the car. Yeah, man. What the race was a good race for the championship, right? Is it just this race, or do you just not like Phoenix in general?
Was it even? Like, I think unless you have a restart at the end, which they didn't have, like, that wasn't some great race, right? Like, it felt good because it was a championship. You know, you had Ross Chastain out there blocking Ryan Blaney. Kevin Harvick went and took, you know, led some laps. But there was really not that much intrigue in it besides, Christopher Bell, you know, had a brake issue, and then William Byron didn't have power steering. And then it was just a question of, you know, who's going to finish higher. And like Blaney, I guess Blaney was able to move up a little better in that race. But it's just they can't move. They can't pass unless you're Joe Gibbs or 2311 Racing.
Right, but that, right?
And it's not like those guys are out there like on even tires out there just, you know, womping the, you know, going through the field like crazy either. I know Bell was the best car. And so, you know, deservedly won the race, but I don't know. It was just, to me, it's bad racing, even when you do get some tight racing and guys are going for passes.
Let's talk about Bell for a second, because he made the final four last year.
2 years in a row, too.
2 years in a row. He's kind of run well. Did he have an issue last year early in the race?
That he had the brake issue that took him out.
So this is a big race for him. I had him in my final four again, right? Did I have him in my final four?
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, so this is obviously it's a big race for him, the fact that he dominated. And it was cool to see. I know a critique of, that you have of him is whenever something kind of goes wrong, it's usually a lot of self-destructive errors that Christopher Bell has. It was cool to see something kind of go wrong for him in a race. And then he responded, drove back up through the field as the race went on and wound up, you know, dominating even the back end of the race too. So that was good to see him go through adversity and still win this race. It wasn't just like a perfect race from start to finish for him.
Yeah. I will say that that was one of the better Bell races, you know, kept it clean. You know, I know like when he pit, he had to go back up through the field, you know, and he was basically the only guy who was really able to do it. And that he's been in that situation before. And he ends up spinning, like he ends up doing what Denny Hamlin did today, where it's like he overdrives the car and takes a good run and screws it, or takes a win and screws it. So he's done that a lot. So that's, you know, good for him. Very funny that the most boring driver in NASCAR, or at least most boring good driver in NASCAR, won the most boring race of the season so far. He's going to have a good season. Again, you know, he's, you know, won the fourth race of the season. You know, he always runs good at the mile and a half. So he can win on the road courses. Like he's going to have a good season. It's just that like he'll be in play for the championship at the end. And hey, if he makes it to the final four again, he's got a lot of, you know, confidence after being able to, you know, not only win this race, but be the best out of all the Toyotas, which were dominant. Did I read the stat that the Toyotas led every single lap except for 14 where Todd Gilliland stayed out during green flag pit stops?
You might have mentioned it in the open, but I now I'm hearing it. That's kind of crazy.
430 people watching and none of them are on YouTube. Click on the YouTube link, people.
They probably think when are they going to talk about the Giants?
Yeah, you see the title, you know, click on the YouTube link and subscribe. Was there any doubt when Bell was moving up the field that maybe somebody would be able to hold him off? Once Truex had to pit,
yeah,
it felt like, okay, this is a foregone conclusion that unless they get a late restart and they go through, you know, have chaos through the dog.
That was the only way.
This is over. This is Christopher Bell's race.
That was the only way. Like maybe if there's a late restart, Ross Chastain wrecks some havoc. And then it's like makes a big move, but no. Or even Brad was doing a lot of those slide jobs late in the race, but no, there was no doubt.
Chastain is just figuring out a way to use pit strategy and his ability to, you know, stay in front of guys to be, you know, he finished fourth last week,
sixth this week.
He was the well
Chevy to finish inside the top 10.
Yeah, he finished well at Atlanta. Obviously he won this race championship weekend last year, so he's having a, you know, and he almost came damn close to win the Daytona 500, which would have been nuts for him. It's coming, and he hasn't had like a dominant car yet, right? Where last year at this time, you know, he's running, you know, winning stages and stuff, hasn't had that, but still has been able to put together the finishes where I still have a lot of confidence in him for this season. Other notes I had on the race specifically, like I said, the most frustrating part was like, and I'm not rooting for Byron or Elliott, but it's like, man, they just got, once they pitted, they were, and got put in the back, they got stuck. And all the guys on that Friday practice that they had said, like, hey, in traffic, nothing's changed. This stinks. You know, the smaller spoiler like is not changing anything. Like once you get these things in traffic, they are screwed. And that's basically what you saw. Once someone took the lead, they were able to hold it and second place could come make a run on them. But even then, it was hard to pass there. Noah Gragson, we've been talking about him a lot. Finished ninth at Daytona, sixth at Vegas, 12th here, right? And he was kind of a top, you know, towards the top 10 most of the day, qualified in the top 10. You know, I'm really excited to see if he can be Stuart Haas's best driver in his sophomore year. You know, and I want to talk about Chase Briscoe in a second too, because he's actually been in the middle of a lot of shit the first month of the season. You know, it sucks that he had that 35-point penalty right? And then you had 36 after, you know, a wreck in Atlanta. But again, like, he's 9th, 6th, and 12th. And that 35-point penalty, let's actually, I can pull it up. Like, where does that have him? How far does that have him back in the
26 point? In the standings.
Yeah, so right now he is...
Right by Harrison Burton.
26. So he's 96 back. So he would be 61.
He needs to win a race.
Yeah, he would be 15th right now. Right. Yeah. So he's not gonna, like you said, he's not gonna, I don't think he's gonna do well consistently enough to point in. But hey, I think he can win a race, right? Wait, when we go to Martinsville, Stuart Haas Racing was really good in Martinsville last year. Now here's where I'm gonna have the question is because Ford has suffered on the mile and a half tracks, but they've been pretty good in the short tracks, right? And they were good in the super speedways again this year too with the new Mustang front end. They didn't look horrible today. Blaney finished towards the top, you know, like the Stuart Haas guys, but they weren't winning. They weren't at the front like the last, you know, few Phoenix races. Even though Chevy won both of them last year, Kevin Harvick took the, you know, passed Kyle Larson late in the race, and then they had the caution, and then, you know, Ryan Blaney was a better car than Ross Chastain for the championship last year, but, you know, Chastain was doing such a good job aero blocking, and Blaney kind of just let off and said, okay, I'll just win the championship from second place. Be interesting to see. And the fact that Logano is going to lose his mind at some point. You know, good day for the Roush guys, but they haven't had the best start to the season. I think it's really interesting for Ford, especially with Honda probably coming in, you know, not next year, but the year after.
Yeah, and if you're a Tony Stewart fan, I think tonight it may even be right now, 9 to 10:30. I have a recording because I don't know if I'm going to be up that late, but Tony Stewart is taking his wife's spot in Tony Stewart Racing in NHRA. Do you watch NHRA that much, the drag racing?
I'll put it on the background, but I don't sit down and watch it. I watched IndyCar today before the race.
I love it. I love it so much. I'm devastated they took out Raceway Park here in New Jersey. I have to go up to Epping, New Hampshire now, the weekend after Memorial Day weekend. But yeah, Tony Stewart full time is driving a Top Fuel dragster, going from driving 190 miles an hour at super speedways in a NASCAR, 49 Cup wins, to now he's going to be driving 330 miles an hour in a matter of like 1,000 feet, so, or even 800 feet, I think. So that's going to be really, really exciting to see him there. Yeah, but you know, we've been talking kind of quietly about Noah Gragson, and even Chase Briscoe finished two spots ahead of him today. The points shit does suck though, because he needs to win a race.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, you know, him not making the playoffs this year isn't a failure if he's running consistently, you know, pretty well.
Right.
And with him, with Stuart Haas, now they've, you know, rebranded as like We're Just Racers. Priest, you know, Priest had the pit at the end.
Yeah.
Briscoe has been right in the middle of everything every week, but he's been racing like a madman. Maybe, like, I think they're really trying to take on that tagline of like, we're just racing, like old school racers. We're not about sponsorship money. Like, we're just going, because Briscoe at Atlanta was a lunatic, right? We're just like, this guy is pushing the limits way too often. I think there was a some type of brush up at last week at Las Vegas, if I'm remembering correctly. And then this week, I don't put a ton of blame on him, but Eric Jones was pissed off at him, and Eric Jones was having a great run. Yeah. You know, Eric Jones was been having a decent season, and it got ruined today because Briscoe put him four wide, and then Bubba Wallace got into the back of Eric Jones. Jones was asked after about it and said, like, you know, he was pissed off at Briscoe and says, like, they continue to run us like this. I don't know what his deal's with me. He said, I'll give him a call this week. He probably won't call back. So I don't know where the beef originated there between those two. But that really, like, you picked Eric Jones today, which we'll talk about our little points thing later, and, you know, qualified up front, was running second basically the entire first stage, and then got passed for third, you know, late in it. If he had finished eighth today, which he was very much in line to like run around there, he'd have an average of like a 13.7 finish this year, with his worst one being at a drafting track. So it wouldn't be like he's just living off of, you know, good Daytona Atlanta finishes. He finished 25th at Atlanta. you know, they were, he was in the playoffs before, you know, going into this week, and obviously drops out with the bad finish. Those guys kind of need to have luck turn their way for the most part. But Jones has won a race before in this. I think the Toyota move is helping Legacy.
Yeah.
And I think Eric Jones is going to have a decent little year and maybe get a win. I don't know when it's going to be, if it's Darlington again or wherever, but he's running up towards the front, and you know, he didn't lead any laps, but he was like kind of one of the dominant Toyotas at the front.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially at the start of the race. I have this parallel in my head. Like, these two guys are kind of connected, where Eric Jones and Christopher Bell were coming up the Joe Gibbs pipeline at the same time. And Joe Gibbs, I guess, just decided, even though I think Eric Jones was a better Xfinity driver for them. I could be wrong with the stats. That's at least what my brain tells me. I think Eric Jones was a better Xfinity driver for them, but they just chose to go with Christopher Bell. So I think kind of Eric Jones got kind of screwed out of that Gibbs ride. And now he's with, you know, Legacy Motorsports. I'm glad they're with the Toyotas now. So I kind of view like their careers in like similar paths, even though they're very, you know, they're very different drivers. So I hope he does well. That's a guy that I've always kind of rooted for.
Yeah. And it's just cool to see the, you know, someone in the 43, doing well. And I think all of NASCAR should be rooting for Legacy Motorsports to do well, right? As Richard Petty enters, you know, the latter years of, you know, his life, unless he lives like 110, which I actually do think Richard Petty is going to be one of those people who lives into his hundreds.
He looks great.
Yeah. I think he's what, like 88 or something? 80. He's 86. You know, we saw him last year, Justin, at Daytona. He looked fine. This year, I don't know if he's doing it every week, but they're putting the tribute to him, basically a hat at every track in like their fan zones. And he looks fine. So I think he's going to live. Obviously, he's not super, involved in all of this, but Jimmy Johnson and getting that team to run well is obviously good for the sport. Also, John Hunter Nemechek, I think Joey Logano is going to be just, he's kind of turning into the old man of NASCAR, right? He had the issue with Ty Gibbs at the Clash, and then went on to his serious radio show talking about him. And then John Hunter Nemechek just dumped him today. Right, Nemechek on the radio is like, oh, he just slowed down way more than I thought, you know, way early. And you go back and watch the replay, it's like, no, he did not, like, he did not check up at all. You're just crowding him, dumps him. And then, you know, John Hunter Nemechek's kind of playing dumb on the radio. And Logano, you know, went after him. He's like, just own up to it. Own up to it. You screwed up. So I think Logano is just going to be the guy who just wrestles with the first and second year drivers every year. So I'm excited for him to get into who next will he get into it with? Gibbs, John Hunter Nemechek.
Has he gotten into it with Gregson yet?
Not yet. But I can definitely see that happening, right? If Gregson can continue to run here, having them both running for eighth and ninth place, and Gregson, you know, doors him or whatever, and Logano is gonna be the he's going to be the old man of the sport, which I guess he is one of the more tenured drivers now. But very, John Hunter Nemechek is the ultimate, just like Ross Chastain, right? He can get on people's nerves. But it's like, whenever he does it, it's like, well, this makes sense why he was doing it. John Hunter Nemechek is the ultimate. Like, well, what was the point of this? What was what's the point of just dumping Logano into turn three or at Daytona, that first wreck? It's like, why did you on lap three of the race, when they're creating a third lane, why did you halfway commit to it and you know, crowd everybody up? And then
I feel like he's even dumber in the Xfinity series sometimes.
Yeah. And he's been like pretty reckless in the Xfinity series this year, you know, obviously, you know, last year, I think Hunter Nemechek is going to be he's not like a confrontational person, but he's because of the way he races. And we don't forget Cole Custer fucking charged him at Watkins Glen a few years ago. So he's just going to get on everybody's nerves by the way that he races, which, again, Ty Gibbs has a bad rap for that, but like John Hunter Nemechek has just as bad of a rap as Ty Gibbs. He's just not kind of known as the snot-nosed kid that Ty Gibbs is looked at. And I think Ty Gibbs is more talented, obviously going to be in better cars, but Nemechek from trucks to Xfinity to now in the Cup is like has kind of a reputation of like what is the point of the moves that you're making?
Yeah. Man, what else you got? You mentioned Ty Gibbs. This is the highest finish that he's ever had at Phoenix. You know, all Toyotas kind of did well. So that was good for him.
I mean, he's going to win a race this year. Like, yeah. if you ask me if you pick Ty Gibbs wins two races or none. Which one would you bet $100 on?
I would say, yeah, that he wins two races.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's really talented. That's why it's like I don't feel the need to talk about Ty Gibbs the way we talk about Noah Gragson. Like, oh, good job, top 10, stuff like that. Because I think it's kind of expected. Like, it's going to happen. He's talented. He's in good equipment. He's going to win races. And it's like, let's save the Ty Gibbs talk for when he actually wins the race this year that I believe is coming. Which, hey, that can our weekly NASCAR Winston Cup point standings. Ty Gibbs would be second to Ryan Blaney right now. Ross Chastain third, Truex fourth, Byron fifth. That's a pretty big deal. Second year driver is running the second most consistent this season, only behind Ryan Blaney, who won the real championship last year. And then the regular points, Blaney's in first in that, not, you know, with the playoffs, and then Gibbs is sixth, right? And, you know, three of the guys ahead of him are, you know, guys who have won race. So he'd be seventh right now. And I do think he's going to get on the board with a win this year. And anything on the point standings? Can we introduce our new points thing that we started?
Yeah, Kyle Busch got screwed today. He just had a car that could not drive from the start, and
yeah, the first caution he pitted, and he's like, "I saw you change something, yeah. You know, change something because this is not going to work for me." Which I wonder if Jesse Love very premature, but can like put pressure on like Austin Dillon to take a leadership role at RCR and you know, obviously they won't put Jesse Love in the three, but the 33 or whatever. That's actually, I was thinking about that yesterday because about Jesse Love. If Austin Dillon moved to, you know, CEO of RCR and you know, really started being groomed to run the business, what number would they run? Because 31 is owned by Colleague. 29, I don't feel like they would bring back 29. So I feel like it'd probably be 33. Boyer ran 33. Dillon ran that before he was, you know, brought in full time.
Yeah.
But they did run 30 with Jeff Green. People do forget Jeff Green in the number 30 AOL. People
forget.
All right, so we started our own prediction thing. And I am whipping your ass.
I had a bad – well, I had a good start.
Yeah, in the beginning of the race, I was like, ooh, Justin made good picks. You know, Buescher wasn't doing well. Briscoe was eh. So what we're doing, and I actually want to see if people want to follow along and see what they can, like, average per week, is we are making three picks every week. And so we can pick someone who's top 10 in points. And we'll go by the even though like the play, like we'll go by the current point standings, but not like if the playoffs were today. So it's like, if there's someone who has a win and technically would be eighth if the playoffs started today, but they are 17th in total, like they are still in that range. So we get to pick one person from the top 10, one person from 11th to 20th, and then one person from 21st on. And the point standings, no stage points, just regular first place 45, second place 39, third place 38, and so on. I picked Denny Hamlin, who finished 11th, Chase Briscoe 9th, and Chris Buescher 2nd, 101 total points, which may be like that's going to be hard to do, you know, because not only is like your top two picks have to do well, but your 21st on guys to do well. Mine finished 2nd today. Justin, you pick Ross Chastain, finished 6th, Eric Jones 31st, and Joey Logano 34th. So I have 101 points. You have 52.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So almost doubling already, but I'm actually really interested to play that game all year. We probably won't do a Thursday show this week because of NFL free agency. We'll be a little hectic and busy, but do you have anything else?
No. Can you please tell, we have 1,000 people for some reason watching.
Yeah, I don't understand. One, like I'm shocked that many people are watching, right? In general, but it's like, why are you watching on Twitter? It almost makes it feel fake. Like these numbers can't be real.
if there are really 1,000 people here, Racing Radio, NASCAR podcast. It used to be the Simple Man Radio channel, Racing Radio on YouTube. Subscribe. This is like our new little venture. If half of the people that are here, if half of the people that are here right now go to YouTube and subscribe, then we get 1,000 subscribers.
Yeah. This is what is going on. You don't even have to watch, just subscribe. And it keeps growing by the minute.
Yeah. I feel like
where is this being pushed off to?
I don't know. I feel like maybe this is fake.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't believe that these numbers are real. I simply don't. Like our Talking Giants Twitter viewer numbers never are this high, you know, unless it's like when we immediately push it out, right? Like I always expect, yes, when we immediately push it out, people click on for 10 seconds, but this is insane to be the numbers climbing. I almost don't want to stop the show just to see how high they can get. Can we get to 1,100 in the next 25 seconds? So we probably won't do a show Thursday. Because of NFL free agency, that's our day job. So until someone from NASCAR comes and hires us, we, you know, sometimes we're only going to be able to do it once a week. So I don't think we're going to get to 1,100. So we appreciate you. Subscribe on YouTube, damn it.
If you wanna keep it going to see if we can get up to 1,100, I just got a shots fired stray of a tweet.
What happened?
Art Stapleton, first time I've ever had one of my followers on here walk across the stage naked at the Oscars. Congrats at John Cena. Apparently that just happened. And then Art said, my money was on Justin Penick.
That's what's going on there.
That's a shot fired, I think. First of all, for Art, I'm going to take that as a compliment. Art Stapleton thinks that I would even be invited to the Oscars, let alone
try and go to the Oscars.
Go on the stage.
We should try and go to the Oscars one day. We're not going to get to 1,100, unfortunately, but I'm very thankful to the over 1,000 people. Like seeing that on Racing Radio, and then you look at YouTube. Like let's pull up the YouTube live numbers. Like so, the YouTube usually ends up getting like between 100 and 200 views as we started this. There's 8 people on YouTube. That number is 100% fake.
Well, guess what? I'm telling.
It's Elon Musk. It's some type of Elon Musk thing to try and get people to live stream on Twitter more because there's just no way that's possible.
I'm telling the company tomorrow, hey, you know, we had 1,000 people in our Racing Radio.
Well, podcast. Look at the views once it ends. It's gonna be nuts. So
just saying.
It'll be interesting to see if Racing Radio ever takes off. But we need people that are watching on Twitter, fake or real, to subscribe. You know what it is? It's probably all our bot followers, because you know we have like a bunch of bot followers now that you know Elon Musk took over Twitter, that they just automatically just click on the lives at the top.
Thanks, bots.
Thank you, bots. Subscribe on YouTube, bots. All right, we'll see you guys when we see you. Maybe if there's some big news, we'll do a show or something. Until then, let's go racing. Yeah, that's 100% bots.
Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.